Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, a brand new Box Set Pod, having never been away. My name's Howell, this is Jamie, and this is Matthew Wanless in London.
So, I must apologise. We've had a brief hiatus, and we're only going to be here for a few weeks before we have a whopping hiatus. And it's all my fault, all around. My wife and I run a rabbit sitting business. Don't ask. And basically, the company we paid a lot of money to deliver some buildings to us went bust. And I had to spend about 20 days, still ongoing, but 20 days learning to build those buildings myself. It was harder than anything I've ever done before. And I'm in a lot of pain as a result. But there was no room to do the old podcast.
Can I just quickly ask a question?
Yeah.
Was the company that was down to build your rabbit hutches, was it owned by Donald Trump?
No, it wasn't. No.
Because isn't this a Trump scam?
Yes. Yeah, I believe he did. He does. He goes bankrupt and then... Yeah, so anyway, that's... I got trumped. That's the point. I got trumped. It meant I had no time for anything. Barely sleep. And that's that. And we missed some big news. Big news along the way.
Wait, sorry. Before we move on to big news, can we just do small news?
Yeah.
How many rabbits is the most you've ever had in your care at one time?
Probably this weekend, actually. Because every cabin, we were sold out in the new cabins. There's 12 cabins.
Whoa.
One or two rabbits a cabin. But then we've got guinea pigs as well. Got guinea pig room. Four or five guinea pig hutches. So, you know, a lot.
So you can potentially house 24 rabbits.
Yeah.
Do you put rabbits who don't know each other in the same cabin?
Hell no. They'd kill each other.
Okay. How do you stop them fucking?
Well, firstly, you don't put them together, question. But secondly, you don't take non-neutered or spayed animals.
No, but you said, okay. You said you can have one or two rabbits per cabin.
Yeah, but you don't take them unless they're...
Unless they know each other, they're friends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Question.
Carry on.
Even if they're not... I mean, I don't know what is the actual process of neutering, but are they still able to be sexually active, or are they simply like the bits are taken from them and they don't even have that choice anymore?
No.
But do they still fuck for fun?
No, you lose the will when you've been snipped. But they
I know what that feels like.
But one of the ways rabbits communicate is through dominance, and so. They still hum.
Communicate through dominance.
It's all to do with society and how they...
Like a professional wrestler.
So basically, a female rabbit will hump a male rabbit just to tell them that they're the boss. And in a rabbit society, it's very important that they all know who's boss. Just watch the documentary Watership Down and it'll make total sense to you.
I love Watership Down. I've read the book as well. Harrowing stuff.
It's true. Wow. It's all true. So that's pretty much it. It's like if another rabbit turns up, that is the end of the world to them until they figure out now the new social structure. Who's the boss? Who's second? Jeez. Who's third? Yeah. And that they can really get quite vicious. And once they've done it...
Can I ask you one more rabbit-related question?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Do you have any understanding or insight into the etymology of some of the words used in Watership Down, like owlsler?
No.
And some of the words they use to describe different foods, that sort of thing?
You'd
they
have
call
to...
a fox a homba?
No
insight. Okay.
No.
I wondered if it was some kind of rabbit
presuming that's
some kind of rabbit bullshit,
presuming that's made up.
or whether it's just, I can't think who wrote Watership Down, whether it's just something that they came up with.
I'm sure they came up with it, but yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Any more questions?
I'm good.
No. Okay. No, I'm all right.
Great.
Yeah, it was written by Richard Adams.
There you go. Googling. Good. Well, there we go. So that's my explanation, and I'm going travelling around the world for 2 months in August and September. So that's going to be a bummer.
I do have one more question.
Yeah.
Did you get any of your money back?
Not yet.
Is it going through liquidators?
It's a limited company, so everyone loses everything and nobody pays a price. But because I paid half of it with a credit card, there's a claim back thing that you
protection,
can go through.
Payment protection, yes.
Yeah, so it's not a legal requirement, but banks have a sort of thing that they'll look into it and stuff. So it's difficult, but we had to spend a lot more money and a lot of time because they were only half done. So yeah, I know I could build you a shed now if you want one.
New business for you. Business maybe.
Shed
maybe
building.
Hey, look, there's clearly a gap in the market.
Yeah.
This company went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Someone's getting their work. Could be you.
I tell you, it was crazy.
And also, Andrew Lincoln left The Walking Dead, and I'm afraid that's all we've got time for.
So Andrew Lincoln has announced that he's leaving The Walking Dead. Now, there were a number of podcasts that immediately leapt on this news and quite rightly covered it immediately so that their fans could hear the news. Of course, we thought that instead we'd take a while to really muse over this and get to you at the right pace. So we've had a bit more time.
We've done two things. You've got Jamie and Howell who have done that and me who has read not one thing. Because when you text me last week, I guess it was, saying we should do something about Andrew Lincoln leaving, that was the first I'd heard of it.
Wow.
And so you can still have, I've been preserving my unknowing state so that you can get live reactions from this guy right here.
Okay.
Do you not use social media at all, Matthew?
I use Facebook, and I'm amazed. I didn't see, there has been nothing about this on my Facebook feed.
It's huge news. How can the show?
It's massive news. I'm shocked. I'm appalled. I'm saddened. I'm bereft.
Well, there's three areas to discuss in this, really, isn't there? There's why do we think it happened? What's going to happen now? And will you continue watching? What directions can they take it in? So let's start with. Well, first of all, I mean, if you listen back to the podcast, you'll hear my views on Scott Gimple and the decision to kill off Carl. I think that was it. Andrew Lincoln has mentioned at some point that his main drivers as a character, as an actor, his main drivers into Rick's brain was his wife and Carl. And I know we've discussed that there is still Judith, but I think that Lincoln at that point, when I've seen him before tell the story of when Scott Gimple rang him and said, "We're killing off Carl," and the way he told that story, there wasn't really a punchline to it. You just got the sense that, all right,
it was a dumb idea.
Yeah, in a very polite way, Andrew Lincoln saying that was the moment, you know. And I think that makes total sense. I think it makes sense if you've watched it from the start. Although Jamie's point about, look, how much does losing Carl really affect us? But yeah, we don't care too much about Carl, I suppose. But Rick, you know, Rick is our surrogate with that care. And once you remove that for me, if I was Andrew Lincoln, I too would go, all right, especially as I presume that he gave his opinion about that. Don't you think he would have said back to Scott Gimple, I think this is a bad idea? And the minute that the studio or the showrunner ignores that from you is presumably the moment that you go, yeah, I'll see you later then. Which, if they did know all the way back then, if Andrew Lincoln at that point said, well, I'm going to leave, that would make sense why Scott Gimple is being moved on at the end of that series and why they wrapped it up so well. Like, they really have wrapped it up. And apparently he's only going to do 6 episodes of this new one.
Yeah, really? 6, and then he's leaving. And it's the same deal also with Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie. She's also only doing 6 episodes, and then she's leaving.
That was about money, though, wasn't it?
That was money, and it was also that she is working on a new show of an ABC pilot called Whiskey Cavalier, and that is something that she's going to play a major part in. So I think that she was bargaining with and basically didn't offer enough money to stay, but also she had other projects lined up. It's two big, whopping characters, mainly Rick. I don't agree. I don't think that's the reason Rick Lincoln's leaving. I think the problem with The Walking Dead is that it doesn't have an end. I really believe that the fact that it's just continuously going on means, like, where's the motivation to sort of... It's just a soap opera. It's just EastEnders, but with zombies.
Do you not think, though, that they must be looking for an ending now? Do you not think that?
I think they might be now. I think the seeing the decline in viewership, the way it's been received the last two series.
It's still not poor, though, Jamie, compared to itself, but compared to its own bars, perhaps. But it's still, it's got a lot of legs in it.
Yeah, but it's in decline. Like, it's going down. Every season drops off more and more, even if it's still pretty high.
I don't know if I entirely agree with that, but I do think that it does feel like it's a little aimless. When there isn't something very definite for them to focus on, it starts to get a little bit like...
You're right in your criticism of the thing, but you're wrong in thinking, I think, that a network would care about that. You're almost saying, well, they're going to have to try and wrap it up because that would be the right thing to do creatively. The network will run it into the ground.
Numbers, and it's dwindling in those regards as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that obviously the network will be motivated by the fact that they're looking at the show's decline and they're seeing that they're going to need to ramp up an ending. They're going to have to work towards something now because it's not working, this idea. And I think it's not an accident that the figures fall off, as it was 2 years ago-ish that they kind of announced it would be an ongoing show, that there was no end date in sight. And
did
I don't
they
think
actually
that
say
helps.
That? I didn't know that.
I don't think it helps anybody. I don't think it helps
no,
the
that
actors.
No, that kind of thing is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it helps the writers. I don't think anyone's helped by knowing that, you want to feel like you've got goals and you've got, there is some sort of climactic moment to this whole so you get into a point where you feel like you've satisfied this storyline in every possible way, and if there's no end in sight, I don't know how you can really ever feel like, you know, you're just drifting, aren't you? And like you said, there's no real sort of aim or motivation.
I don't mind that. I could keep watching my favorite TV series forever, but as long as they have it immediate goals and immediate
you couldn't
obstacles.
There is no show out there that has gone on for that sort of length of time. Even the most popular shows ever that they do 10 seasons is Friends, is Seinfeld.
The Simpsons is still going, but
isn't it? The Simpsons and South Park are the exceptions.
Those are quite good exceptions in the sense that there's a sort of regular game involved with those.
Have the scope to be completely abstract. They can do whatever they want because they're effectively just they're not even sitcoms. South Park has the basis of this town and the characters. But
I think
really,
if it did end,
they
in
can
two...
do absolutely what they want.
Oh, well, let's look at that the other way. If it did end in two series, wouldn't you just think that you'd been massively ripped off in some ways? Because it feels like it's been a long time before anybody played a card that had anything to do with resolution. They've just kind of said, well, this world does not have resolution. So, for example, you know, we all want to get to a point where maybe somebody finds some government bunker, or maybe there's a cure, or maybe there's a something, a military presence or whatever. And if they wrap that up very quickly, we'll suddenly feel a bit ripped off by the speed it's been wrapped up.
I don't know if I agree with that. Have you seen 6 Feet Under, either of you?
I didn't watch it all. Jamie did.
The last episode of that, because 6 Feet Under is essentially the story of an entire family's life. Mm. And they had to finish it at some point. They couldn't just do it for forever because there were kids being born and growing up and so on. And the way they wrapped up that show, I think, is incredibly well done and utterly unique. Kind of perfect.
Yeah, but that was a different thing. I mean, this is a different thing from that. Has anybody watched anything of Rain on Netflix?
Yeah, watched it all, yeah.
Great, eh? Great.
It's very good, yeah,
and
very good.
Again, it's an apocalyptic thing. It's very Walking Dead. It's apocalyptic, but by the end of Series 1, you have, in essence, reached the wall, you know, reached quarantine. or whatever. And it really does show you like how quick something like that can move if it wanted to. But this just has never wanted to. It's always
no, and it's one of the things slowly. I've always liked about it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think you have to resolve it entirely, but you have to get to a place where it feels like the resolution that comes after that and the progress made after that is no longer dramatically interesting.
Well, isn't that where we've just got to? And, you know, the end of this series was such a... Apart from the stupid Godfather scene of we're going to have to take Rick down, the whole series seemed to wrap up. And this is what I want to ask you about this. When do you think the studio knew? Do you think they found out pretty much when we did? That it was the news was leaked and Andrew Lincoln has only just told them? Like, they've started filming the new series and he said, listen, you know, there's 5 episodes that you've written. I'm gone after that. Or do you think that they knew? Because if I was to find out they knew, I wouldn't be surprised at all with the way that the end of that series was written and the weird stuff that popped up, like that scene. We got to take Rick down. They must have known. Because it was hokey.
Yeah, absolutely. That suggests that whole scene. Once you know that, once you know what's happening with his character, that scene takes on you understand now why that scene's been placed in there, because they're trying to motivate the gradual tensions between this close group of characters. So,
and also the closure of Rick's character in that, you know. There was those. It was literally a walk off into the sunset and a sort of fade to black, wasn't there? End of series sort of feel to the whole thing, even if it wasn't satisfying narratively. The way that they put it together, the tools that they used, really did seem like there was almost going to be a montage at the end saying, with thanks to Andrew Lincoln. Like, if you think back.
Well, I definitely, If and also, like, I feel that the point Rick's reached now, which he's reached a number of times and kept going back and back and, you know, in a circle from like being a monster to realize he doesn't want to be a monster to wanting to have peace, to want to be a pacifist, to then realize he has to be angry and aggressive and kill again, to being a monster. He's been around that circle quite a few times. And the letter from, Chandler Riggs. That's surely the final. Surely that's the final time he's going to realize, this is not the person I want to be. This is who I want to be. I don't want to fight that fight anymore. It feels like his character's almost come to the end of its arc anyway.
Yeah.
Norman Reedus has been offered huge payday to take on the star leading role
Let's come to that in one moment. First, just to wrap this up, I agree with everything you just said. And it would make sense because they announced that Scott Gimple was leaving a couple of episodes before the end of that series. Andrew Lincoln would have been told at the beginning of the half of that series he would have been told at the beginning of Series 8 that Chandler Riggs was going to die. So he would have opted out. They would have announced Scott Gimple was going. Perhaps negotiations carried on. They're going, please stay, no. And then that whole chapter is written like that. So the writers had to have enough time to write it like that if they knew. I'm surprised the news wouldn't have broken earlier, so I might be talking rubbish. But, so that said, if we presume that that's where it ended, then they already knew before they started this next series that he's going to be doing 5 or 6 episodes, which means that we need to get rid of him. How will he be got rid of, boys? What are the options? Death, walks off into the distance, gets outed from the community like a rabbit that smells different from the others. What do we think?
Option B.
Yeah. What was option B again?
Walks off into the distance.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the one. I think it will be a case of Daryl wanting to continue the fight and Rick doesn't have it in him anymore to... You know, he doesn't want to be part of this constant cycle of battles, and it'll be Daryl taking on the mantle of the from then on. Yeah.
Will Daryl do what he did with what's his name? Bernie Face. Will he drive Rick off into the woods? Will they have a scrap? Whatever happens, there'll be an incredibly emotional goodbye between Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not. I, I don't know if you even care.
But it's got to be open-ended, doesn't it? You don't even care.
I don't know if I do. I mean, it's going to be hard. I said last series that the show wouldn't work without him. And I know. Kind of stand by that. This is a big blow to me for The Walking because this Dead is in general.
Yeah, but it's got to be open-ended, doesn't it? I mean, they'll leave it so that Andrew Lincoln has an option.
If they're smart. Mm. And that would be a great card to play later to bring him back for a finale.
When his film career's died a death.
Yeah, it would be good, actually. That would be a rare sort of treat to have a character leave the show and then return for a final series of he's got to come back for a big ending. But the other point here, and I wonder if this is your issue, Matt, is that does the idea of Daryl being the lead character, are you not excited about that at all?
Not really. He doesn't have the same qualities as Rick does. He is he's a lieutenant, you know. He's too strong, silent type to be a real leader.
Now, the flip side of that argument, and I tend to agree with you, but the flip side is that it becomes a different show. It's a different fascinating thing, which is more akin to what we're used to in gangster films and stuff. Not that Daryl's a gangster, but in that your lead character, instead of becoming holier than thou, your lead character is conflicted. And you watch him struggle with the issues of leadership, and that becomes the reason to watch Daryl.
We've already done that, though, with Rick. We've already seen that.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be a worse boss, really, isn't he, Daryl? That's the problem. What could they do?
They do have a problem with the Maggie situation, because they were kind of setting Maggie up as the future leader of this group going forward. Yeah. And now that she's leaving as well, and I wonder if that maybe came as a little bit of a shock, because they thought eventually she'd negotiate a new contract and it'd be sorted. I wonder if that's thrown a bit of a spanner in things.
Maybe.
Right, but they just need some new blood, I think.
Yeah, it could, Matt. I mean, in reality, you're not going to not watch The Walking Dead. You're not going to stop.
I want to see what happens. I'm not going to stop now. But,
What it is.
Once he's gone...
You sound really depressed.
I could stop.
You sound really miserable.
You know, this is not how I would have liked it to go.
No.
Going back to what we were talking about a minute ago, the way I always sort of envisaged it ending was not in a kind of all the zombies are gone. It was like we expanded the world to the point where we met the waves coming from the other direction. Do you see what I mean? And you see a net that's starting to be sewn together, and it's kind of
lovely, and everyone has a bottle of Coke and sings a song on the edge of a cliff together with people from other countries. Yes, I agree. That's what the ending should have been.
Not other countries, but other counties, other states. That's what I imagine. Because it's a very American show. You never explicitly find out whether the rest of the world is fucked.
Well, I think AMC's plan is that this is the new Star Trek, because there's an example of a series.
Oh, that's interesting. Where the universe continues to exist, but you see other parts of it.
Yeah, and why not, I say.
That's an interesting idea, although Fear the Walking Dead, from what I hear, has not been the greatest experiment in that regard.
No, I mean, it's gone up and down with figures. It had sort of 4 million or whatever for the premiere of the last one, I think. But by some accounts, it's better than The Walking Dead at the moment. But it's certainly, you know, if you think about Star Trek and you think that they have one of these central premises that is simply to go where no man has gone before, to explore new lands, all of that. That's kind of what this is, and that's why I've always liked it, because you never know what's around the next corner, you never know what's the next level of the computer game is. I've never particularly found the same frustration with this that I've found with other things in terms of pace, or, you know, I don't need to know the size of the pitch with this. I'm just enjoying the journey all the time. Whereas when I've enjoyed it less has been when it has become more like those other things, because you can feel the author's hand interfering too much. So, like, my problems with Handmaid's Tale pace and all that was the authorship felt too heavy. Whereas when The Walking Dead's really good, it's just fun. It's a fun but also thought-provoking philosophical thing in the same way that something like Star Trek is when it's at its best. Though you never know, maybe they'll just keep going and twist and turn. But I doubt it. And I don't think they intended for this to happen. Absolutely not. I think Andrew Lincoln has gone, right, you have fingered this too much. I am walking. See you later.
Walking Dead.
Well, who's got a bird in the background tweeting away there?
Sorry, I've got the windows open and I didn't think they were loud enough to get through to the microphone here.
Tweeting away, that one. Well, there we go. So let us know your thoughts. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Do you think we got it all wrong? Do you think they had no clue until the last moment? Do you think there was no, you know, do you think Lincoln's genuinely wants to just go off and make films, as he said? I can't imagine it. I mean, he has done it a long time. He's spending a long time in Atlanta in the heat filming. 10 years.
It's going to be hard, and I wonder how it's going to affect, once again, the viewing figures. Like, it could be a real killer.
Yeah.
Losing Rick from the show.
Yeah.
Really could. So that's going to be intriguing to watch. And how they do phase him out. I hope they do it. And I'm glad Gimple's left for this part of the story, because he probably wouldn't do a very good job of it. So hopefully someone will come in, do it in a good way.
What a legacy. I killed Carl, got rid of Andrew Lincoln and got kicked out.
Yeah.
No offence, Scott Gimple. If we're completely wrong, please come on and defend your case. Be great to chat to you.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Great to chat to you. You know, let's see what happens. Maybe it'll turn into a Carol Darrell masterpiece. Who knows? But
Carol Darrell. A healthy snack.
But Andrew Lincoln, God damn it, he's so good. So good. I would have watched him forever on that show. Ah, God damn. Anyway.
You did like Rick Grimes. Yeah. What's the rest of the landscape looking like for you guys? What are you watching?
Rain. Very good.
I haven't heard of this. I'm going to have to watch it.
It's a Danish apocalyptic.
Did you watch it with the English dub or did you watch it with the subtitles?
I never watch dubbed.
No.
I hate dubs. Dubs just makes everything shit.
Yeah.
I always subtitle it.
Yeah.
And it is very good. It's worth a watch.
What else?
It's quite easy to bang through.
Are the subtitles well written?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Netflix are good at the subtitles and do a good job of it.
I really struggled with the Scandi Noir stuff because the subtitles felt so like Google Translate.
Yeah.
That it was just like watching a show with shit dialogue and a plot.
No, this is good. Kimmy Schmidt, the latest series, thoroughly enjoyed that. Annoyed that it's only like 6 or 7 episodes. They did the same with Silicon Valley. The latest one is only 6 episodes. They're making short series everywhere. What's going on?
I know a few things I'd like to mention. Damnation, I watched that. That's on Netflix. It's kind of a preacher trying to help a labor dispute against big business in 1930s Depression America. Mm. It's in the category of I don't regret watching it, but I wouldn't recommend it. Plus, it's been cancelled for a second series, so don't bother with that one. Next up, The Detectorists.
Yeah,
I've started watching that. It's brilliant.
One episode.
It's so good. Have you watched it?
Tell me about that one. No, I haven't. I've heard of it.
It's Mackenzie Crook and Toby Jones. You'd like it. It's very up your alley.
It's really good. They're just like a couple.
Jamie's cut out, but they're just.
It's got a wonderful pace to it. And it isn't. Your brother described it. I thought of exactly the same thing. It's a bit Last of the Summer Wine in its kind of pace and its kind of the world it's within, but it's obviously it's funnier and it's different in comedy to that, but it's a really, really nice show. It's a nice show to end the day with if you're watching other stuff. And one half-hour episode of The Detectives before bed.
Netflix.
I recommend it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Both series are on that. Series 3 is currently on
Netflix. Have you noticed Netflix really going for the popular vote now as well? They've got Love Island on there and things like that.
Yeah. I tried to watch Love Island the other day. I just thought, I'm going to see
what the fuss is about. Yeah.
My God, it's disgusting.
I cannot.
Shit.
I cannot move for people talking about flipping Love Island at the moment. It's crazy.
It's like Big Brother on roids, yeah. Isn't it?
I honestly don't understand it at all.
I'll give you one more recommendation before we go. About 10 years ago, I watched something that I've talked about a lot since. It was when Jamie and I were starting out in radio, and I would watch it late at night. It was a Storyville, which you may have seen. Different ones. Mm. Storyville is on the BBC, and it kind of focused on different stories. And it's a story about a man. It was the first sort of crime documentary, and it's a story about a man who's accused of murdering his wife. And it has just appeared on Netflix under a different name.
Staircase.
And it's calling itself a Netflix original, which is interesting, as I watched it in 2005. But
so you've watched it, Howell? I didn't know.
I have.
Oh, right.
There are three more episodes on this, though, apparently. So I'm watching it again with Sarah, and then we'll watch the new three episodes that are on the end of it. Because I know is I remember the last episode, which has a big, you know, bombshell in it.
Yeah, it's getting some huge, huge ratings. It's really well reviewed. I'm definitely going to dive in, have a look at that. That looks really good. Yeah. We should do it on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's the pre-making a murderer, making a murderer. Really, it's
Storyville.
Great. Mm. Yeah, no, it's called The Staircase.
It's called
Staircase on Netflix.
Staircase on Netflix. Yeah. Also, we should do West Wing. And so, Westworld.
West Wing is now on Netflix as well in the UK.
Is it in the States? Not in.
No, it's
UK.
On. It's on here as well. I think.
No, it's not.
Because that would be too big news for me.
Let me just check that for you. I've just checked. Have you?
Okay. I've just checked. It's not.
Have you been watching The Handmaid's Tale series?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I am enjoying it. Because I was enjoying it until the end of the last episode. I won't give away why. But I was really, really enjoying the respite from the kind of. And so I was like, yes, yes. Now you're challenging yourself. Yes. I don't want to say any more. But you know what I mean. A change from the norm, isn't it?
Yeah.
A new adventure.
I'm now fully into Rick and Morty.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
It is.
So good. Mm. Wasn't prepared for how good it was going to get, actually. Mm. But it made me miss Community, something rotten.
Yeah. I think Matt's horizontal right now, maybe with a glass of wine in his other hand.
I'm not horizontal, I'm sort of perpendicular.
I think he's on a hammock.
I'm lying back on a sofa in my loft.
Yeah, yeah. Right, well, you go and enjoy yourself, doing whatever you do in your loft. We will hopefully be doing another podcast next week on the subject of
Westworld.
All right, Westworld next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
See you then. Thank you. Email us studio@theboxsetpod.com and don't forget to go buy a T-shirt from Tee Public. Go to Tee Public and search for Box Set Pod, please. Thanks.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.